Well, hey, welcome to our living room, our basement living room, actually. This is the Bennett home. And I just want to be first affirming of what we just heard. Pastor Corey and the Eagles and sharing just what God is doing globally through our Water's Edge network with missions, and also what Drs. John and Libby feel called to in Bangladesh is so encouraging. And I hope it encourages you today. I hope that in fact, you find a sense of just awe at what God is doing. And I want you to know that we are standing with the Eagles. We are supporting them and praying for them and contributing to their mission from our overflow missions budget. And I want to invite you to consider prayerfully joining them as well. And so if you're interested in how to get on their email list and how to support them, please shoot us an email at info@overflowchurch.org. Now, with that said, this is actually not the first time I've attempted to shoot this message. And I just want to talk from my heart because my heart is breaking. And as we move into this message today, we're in this series, Things I Wish Jesus Didn't Say. And I really felt that the Holy Spirit was saying, throw out your notes, throw out your message, and just talk from your heart. And so you're in my home, and I'm talking to you as Pastor Brian from my heart today. And my heart is grieved. It is broken because Jesus was so clear to us, and yet for whatever reason, we don't get it. You know, this is a hard season. It's a season in which we are seeing the effects of a global pandemic on our homes, on our communities, on our country. And in the middle of that global pandemic, we're also seeing a rise in division, which often is along political lines, racial lines. And it's so hard to listen to what Jesus said and to not have your heart break. And so I want you to know that the tears that you may see from me today are because I love Jesus and his church and his people deeply. And I realize God is going to need to intervene in a significant way. He stripped away a lot of the things that we're used to relying on. He stripped away or allowed to be stripped away a lot of the things that we're used to. And in many ways, it's exposing so much of what's broken and wrong in our lives. And this week, we watched real time or video of what happened in Minneapolis to a man named George Floyd. Over the last few weeks, we had witnessed Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and then this week with George Floyd, that video. How do we get to that place? As a country, as a society, how do we get to that place where we don't see the humanity in one another, where people can watch that video and still not understand, not get what was happening to George Floyd was completely wrong, was murder? How do we get to that place where we try to justify it or point to other things? I gotta tell you, Jesus had some things to say. And I think this series and this moment is just timed perfectly. And so I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna pray for us. I'm gonna pray for what I'm gonna share over the next few minutes. I'm going to pray for George Floyd's friends and family, the city of Minneapolis, and then our country. And I want to encourage you to lean in. It's often when things are out of control and completely broken that then people begin to turn to God. And that's got to be our hope right now, is to turn to Him, to turn to Him in new ways. And so, Father, I just lift up this season that we're in, this global pandemic, the pain of that is a lot for many of us. But then to be walking through what we're seeing online and in the news and in social media, the pain that is in the black community, the pain that is there that has often been missed or dismissed. Father, may you bring your kingdom, may we experience heaven on earth in the middle of this pain. Raise up a people who say enough is enough, who walk with you as salt and light, who don't ignore the things that you say, but follow them and love the people around them, and don't allow our society to continue down this path. Jesus, we thank you that you are the unifier. So connect us to you today through your word. Father, be with the Floyd family, the friends, the city of Minneapolis. Be with our country as we grieve and as we mourn, as we call for change and for justice. Jesus, be in the middle of it. And bless this time now in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in this series and in Matthew chapter 5. Over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at what Jesus taught his disciples. They had come to him on the mountain, the hill, if you will, and as he taught them, you know, from verses 3 to 12, they're known as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are things that are blessings that wouldn't seem like blessings, right? It's things that are countercultural. And so things like, blessed are the poor who realize their need for them. Blessed those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, who hunger and thirst for justice or righteousness, for they will be satisfied. God blesses the merciful, for they will show mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Goes on to say, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you. Jumping ahead, be happy about it because a great reward awaits you in heaven. These Beatitudes lead and are our blessing as the people of God. They're things that man, it would be easier if Jesus didn't say it, if that wasn't our reality, but it is. And so in this season we're in, some of the things we're experiencing are so hard and so difficult and so heart-wrenching. And yet in that, I believe God can bring blessing as we live according to what He taught us. That we're not to run from those things. We're not to shy away from them. We're not to dismiss them or try to, you know, figure it out on our own. We're to recognize that those are places that God wants to show up in. That's the character, the being of His people, of what it means. And so for you and I, as Christians, as Christ followers, we have a world that is watching, a world that is waiting to see, will the church speak up? Will people acknowledge what's happening? Will they raise awareness? Will they make a difference? Or are they just interested in themselves? The reason we need to pay attention to what's going on in our own life, but more importantly, in the lives of those around us, it's because God has called us each to be influencers. He's called us to be influencers that would make a difference in our world in times like these. And Jesus goes on, and these are the verses that we'll focus on today as I share with you. He says in verse 13 of Matthew 5, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the salt of the earth. You as a Christ follower, me as a Christ follower, are the very people that are supposed to add flavor and distinction, bring purity, bring relationship. We're to stand out in this world. And when we don't stand up, when we don't say enough is enough, when we don't say that is wrong, that needs to change, when we try to act like everything's okay, we're not being salt. We're just trying to remain and be a part of the status quo. To be an influencer means that we stand out, we stand up, we have a purpose. We have a community we're a part of. If you think of like social media influencers, that's what they do, right? They have a purpose. They have a community they're a part of. And they call people to follow that. Jesus gave us a purpose in a community called the church. And this is our moment. This is a time where it could be our finest hour, where we could rise and say, in the face of the pandemic, in the face of racial injustice, in the face of brutality, in the face of the things happening, we are going to provide salt. We are going to be a people that says, no, here's the flavor. This is what Jesus's people are about. This is what is meant to be. We don't need to be afraid of people's reaction or approval. We're working only for Jesus and his approval. So how salty are you? Do you have some distinction? Are you adding flavor to the world around you, or are you just blending in? It's interesting here that the rabbis would have taught that, you know, salt represented wisdom. And that if we lose our saltiness, it's to represent foolishness. I think many of us have moved from wisdom to foolishness. We've become more like the world. We've become more like what we see in the news or social media, or maybe we're avoiding speaking up with wisdom and being salt because we're just not wanting to stand out. You know, when I think about what happened this week to George Floyd, my heart just breaks. I can't help but think, we're 50, 60 years past the civil rights movement, and yet there are still people that are not being treated with equality and equity. Fellow brothers and sisters created in the image of God. So I'm appealing to Overflow, a diverse church. I'm appealing to you that are online to say, will you hear what Jesus said? Will you say that, no, we're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be salt. We're going to rise in such a time as this and say another 20 or 30 or 40 years cannot go by without finding real unity. And you know what one of the things holding us back is? It's our denial of the past. You see, to be salty would be to recognize and confess and admit that there's been a lot of atrocities, a lot of things that have been done in our country over the years, from slavery to Jim Crow to even what we're seeing today with profiling and brutality. To be salty is to say, we can confess that because we need healing. We can confess and repent of that and say, God, do a new thing. And here's the beauty of this. That's wisdom. Because when he says, you know, we're the salt of the earth, we're to act with wisdom. And notice what he says next. He says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. We are to be a light in a time like this. And a light reflects Jesus, reflects through the Holy Spirit, His purity, His goodness to the world around us. And you need to know that, much of what we're seeing today is reflections of darkness. And when Jesus begins to step in and really gets a hold of our life, that's when light begins to really shine through us and through His people. And for some of us right now, you know, we need to look at these verses and understand that Jesus said it's not just you individually, it's you plural. That when your light might be a little dimmer, somebody else's might be brighter, and collectively as the church, we can shine brightly for such a time as this. That's my deepest longing, is that we would turn up the light. And part of it, again, is we have to repent and confess of sin. We got to be honest about the stuff that we're holding on to. God detests pride, but a repentant heart, He runs. The Holy Spirit rushes in, and light will come flooding out of us. It also says in that passage in another translation to let. I think this is maybe one of the more difficult aspects. Some of us are so anxious, so afraid, so ashamed maybe even of the gospel of Jesus or His church, that we're hiding the light that's in us. We're quenching it. What Jesus is getting at here, you may not like, you may wish He had said something different, but He's saying, hey, you're an influencer. You're to be salt and light. You're to shine brightly for Me. Or to be this caring community that loves others. I just think our world is ripe for it right now. I think we have brothers and sisters and in our church, in our community, that are hurting from COVID, from losses. They're hurting from job loss. They're hurting because they're scared to go outside now. Is it safe to go running? Is it safe to drive my car to the store? They're wondering. And they're living in these fears, and we need to be a place that shines light and says, you're not alone, I'm here for you. You know, we live, if you're in the Benton Harbor and St. Joe area, on Lake Michigan, and we have an amazing lighthouse. And if you think about a lighthouse at night, it shines brightly in the darkness. I believe our church overflow is to be a lighthouse, to shine light brightly. And so what does a lighthouse do? It shines light that says you're not alone, that we're here for you, that we're able to be with you, that light is there. And when light sometimes begins to shine, like if you've ever walked out of a dark basement or a dark movie theater, you know, it can assault your eyes. It's almost too much, right? But then you adjust and it's a comfort. That's often what God is going to do as we're lights, is we're going to be that salt and light, and at first people may not know what to do with it, but then it's going to become a comfort because they're going to see our love. See, part of loving people is also exposing the things that are dangerous and wrong. That's what a lighthouse does. A lighthouse shines light on the shoreline and on the rocks and where the break wall is, and it shows you where the dangers are. And we need to do that. We need to shine the light to show people that there's some danger to the way we're living. There's some dangers happening. We do that in love. And then lighthouses also, they show the way. That's what Jesus's church is supposed to do, globally and locally. You know, that's the calling that is on us as influencers, is to be a people that is salt and light, that says, hey, here's the light, here's the way. Jesus in John 8, verse 12, said that He was the light of the world. And He puts that light in us. You know, Pentecost Sunday, May 31st, 2020, reminds us that He gave us the Holy Spirit. We don't have to fake the light. We don't have to manufacture it. It's just going to come shining out of us because of the Holy Spirit in us. When you think about what it might mean to take that message as the Eagles are globally to Bangladesh, as Pastor Corey is in Jamaica and then overseeing missions nationally. That's a part of Jesus's calling. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. It's called the Great Commission. And Jesus, in fact, said that we're to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that he had taught us. So part of what God has called us to do is to be a place that goes, that loves, that sends, that serves. I just want to ask you, are you salty? Are you allowing the light to shine through you in this season? On one hand, I want to encourage you, church, because Overflow, as of the end of May, will have passed out almost 8,000 meals to families in need, to frontline workers, and to students in our community. That is amazing. And you're a part of that. But I also believe that God is calling you individually to look at your own life and to say, am I being salt and light? Am I standing in these gaps? Am I walking into the pain and the darkness and not trying to dismiss it, but to say, this is wrong. There's a better way. Your life is meant to influence others and to make a difference. The last verse, because as I looked at this message and as I said throughout my notes and throughout everything else, it says salt and light, but verse 16 adds to it. It says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Jesus is telling us that as an influencer, you're to do good works and good deeds. Ephesians 2:10 would remind us that in Christ Jesus, you were a masterpiece. You were created in him to do good works that God prepared in advance. Those good works are the adventure that God has for you. He has things that as you do them will give him great glory. And that's the key. We as a church are all about Jesus, about his story and his glory. The things we do are about bringing glory to God. You're going to hear more and more about that in the weeks and months ahead, about his story and his glory. And we're going to encourage you to share your God stories. I want to challenge you to do it even sooner, to do it now, to think about what was your life like before Jesus entered in, before he made you salty. What was your life like when it was dark and now you've experienced light? Remove the cover, let the light out, and let others know. If you're not seeing people in person during this pandemic, do it online. Do it on social media. Take a couple of minutes and say, hey, here's my God story. He gets all the glory. Let's be a people that isn't afraid to speak up, to love, to care, to be salt and light, and to do good deeds and to share that for his glory. Church, I'm encouraged. As hard as this message is today, I'm encouraged because I believe that in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a crazy season of everything being political, in a crazy time where division and just unrest seems so high, you and I are called to be influencers, to be a people that trusts Jesus, that follows Jesus, that acts as salt and light in our world and does great things for him. We had an interesting and kind of a cool moment here at the house a couple days ago. Our kids, our littles, we have four kids, two teenagers and two littles, we call them. They're both seven. Jasmine and Elle. Jasmine is adopted. She's African-American and Elle is Caucasian. And so they share a bedroom and their beds butt up against each other. And there was this precious, precious moment. I want to, in fact, show you the picture of what happened here in a second. It was a dark night. They had their little nightlight. And they reached out to each other to support each other, to love each other as they fell asleep. And here is a picture that my wife Cindy took of a really precious moment that says a thousand words for all of us right now. As you look at and saw in that picture, It's a beautiful moment as two children love, support, and encourage one another. They're coming together to help each other in what was for them a dark moment in a dark room. I just think that has a lot to say to us. You know, Overflow, we're blessed. We are salty because we're a diverse church that is distinct. It stands out. It is different than much of what's happening in our country right now. How we love each other, how we care for each other is going to shine light. It's going to share it with the world in such a way that God gets great glory. So I want to encourage you today to believe that God has more for our lives than just getting through. He wants to fill you up. He wants to use you. The Holy Spirit is there in us to empower us to take His message and the good news of Jesus into all the spaces and places that are dark and broken and hopeless, whether that's in Bangladesh or Jamaica or across the street here in Benton Harbor in St. Joe, or wherever you're watching this from. And so I want to pray along those lines. I want to pray for us to be those kind of people. I also want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to realize much of what you've probably seen and experienced in church is contrary to what Jesus taught. I just want to let you know that Jesus taught some things that are very countercultural. And when we begin to follow Him, we begin to see life as it was meant to be. He lived, died, and rose again and paid the price for your sins and mine and offers us life and life to the full. And so let's pray together this morning. You can pray with me if you're ready to receive Jesus. And I want to pray over all of us to be salt and light and to do good deeds that bring Him glory. Father, I thank You that You completely changed this message today. I thank You for the chance to talk from my heart. And right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would be speaking to the hearts of those that would hear this. For those that are ready to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, right now you can pray with me. Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, that You died and rose again. I ask You now to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me, to fill me with Your Spirit, that I could be salt and light and do and be who You've created me to be. In Jesus' name. And Father, right now, I pray for those that just received You. We celebrate with them. And we pray for all of the brothers and sisters, believers that are hearing this. That, Father, we would not be afraid or ashamed or anxious, but we would be close to You, that Your presence would allow us to be salty and brighter and share our light with the world around us. And, Father, I ask that as we follow You, we would do good deeds for Your glory. Father, use us in mighty ways for Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, church, as from my heart today, it's not always easy, but I hope it encourages you, empowers you, and has equipped you to go and be who God has called you to be. He wants to build us up. And right now, we're going to go back to Pastor Joel's living room, and we're going to respond through worship. As we do that, if this was a moment where you made a decision for Jesus, raise your hand online, let our hosts know, comment. If you have a hallelujah, a thank you, or how God worked, please share it. And let's give God great glory today. Thanks again for being with us in our living room today.